Because ministers often find themselves in compromising situations, that is, situations that require compromise, they need to learn to both extend grace and receive it. That's our key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, as a minister, do you ever find yourself trying to figure out what to do in, say, a compromising situation? And when I use that word compromising, I don't mean something you obviously believe to be sinful.
I can give you an illustration of one of those very recently in my life, and it hasn't played itself out yet. When I say compromise, I think of that word a lot of times in terms of politics, where it's a trade-off. I will give in here, you give in there, and we'll compromise to come to a solution because we have differing opinions. So that's how I'm hearing your word, I guess. We have a woman who I have known now for probably 4 years. She was my wife's beautician, and she also cut hair, so my wife had me go there once, and she's a good barber. She wouldn't like me to call her a barber because she's really a beautician. And I've gone there ever since, and I like how she cuts my hair, and I've enjoyed her as a person. And I have witnessed to her often. I don't think she is a believer, but she's coming relatively close. We've taken her to church with us one time. I've not been able to get her husband to go to church along with that, but I try to schedule the appointments that are earlier in the day when I know she doesn't have a lot of customers, because we can talk about things that are related to spiritual matters. And she says she prays for me, and so it's been a good relationship. Here's the compromising situation. Recently, she has a son and a daughter. Neither are married. And she wondered, because her daughter wants to get married, if I would do the ceremony. And I said, of course I would like to. And that would give me a chance to get to know the family more. And so I met with her daughter and with the fellow she's going to marry. And they were just really good kids. I asked about where they were church-wise. They have no church background whatsoever. They both come out of a Catholic background, but they haven't been attending church. They have no interest in church, no interest in spiritual things. And I said, well, the day may come when you do. And I would like to be available to you, just because you at least know a minister now. And I said, here's what I'll do. I'll write out a ceremony for you, and then I'll pass it by you, and you can decide what you think about it. You can make some changes if you would like, and then get back to me, which they did. And they took out everything that related to Jesus. Very clearly took it all out. The gentleman, who's a young man, and I like him a lot, he sent back and said, you wrote a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. Thank you for doing this. We made a couple changes. Well, they didn't make a couple changes. They totally took out anything that related to me being a minister or to Christ. And then I have to say, okay, now what do I do? I can either say you have offended me, which is not what I want to do in terms of the long relationship with these two kids and also the mother. Or I can say, it's not that big a deal. I can swallow that. And I do have time in the service that they didn't take out. I don't know if they didn't intend to. And I use the word homily because they're Catholic background. I said, after I pronounce you husband and wife, I usually give a brief homily that goes about 3 or 4 minutes. And so I still have that, and so I can stick Jesus back into that. And I will be careful not to be offensive in that regard. But it's got me in a situation where when the thing came back by email, it kind of made me a little bit ticked. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to pray about it, give a little while. And basically what I'm hearing the Lord say is, this is not that big a thing in the long run. Now, is that a compromise? Yeah, that's a compromise. Did I sin in that regard? I don't think I have sinned. The wedding hasn't taken place yet. I'm not going to offend them. But that's, life is like that. It's made up of compromises. So yeah, that's, you asked me, and that's fresh with me. So that's a response, okay?
When we say compromising situations, what we're really talking about is situations where a pastor has to make a decision about whether or not he or she will compromise in order to fulfill some desire on the part of the people that he or she is working with. So in some ways, part of the decision-making process is to determine whether or not it's a major problem and what's the level that the stakes are at. Are they relatively low? Or are there some situations where the stakes might be higher?
Yeah, of course there are situations where the stakes could be higher. I remember we met for 10 years when I was pastoring in the city at the Teamsters Union Hall. The Teamsters, that word meant gangster in a lot of people's minds, and that was a real problem then. why in the world would you meet at the Teamsters Union Hall? Well, I had a good relationship with Louis Pike, who was the head of the Teamsters Local 705, which is the most powerful Teamsters union in the whole of the country. But I was able to relate to him. So in ways, did I compromise? If I talk about trade-off, yeah, I did. But at the same time, I got a better one. We had an employee. She was very talented. I would, when I was doing television, sometimes I would drive with her. I witnessed to her in the car when we would go to the studio because she had a role in the television production. I remember talking with her in the car about Jesus, and she would cry. Now, when it came time for her to get married, she wanted to marry a non-Christian. It was somebody she had known for a long time. And she didn't ask me, but another person at our office, who was her immediate boss, if he would marry them, and he said no. It was a compromise that was bigger than what he was willing to do. She talked to me, but I was away at the time, and not when she talked to me, but later on the wedding date, I was going to be out of town, and I couldn't do it. But I tried to put myself through what my employee Dan was going through. Did he make a right decision, or did he not? And who was to say in those situations whether he did or not? I had a recent thing. I was going to go to Nigeria and do a second video there of what's happening in Nigeria with the Christians. I had arranged for the whole thing. I had a film crew to go with me. All the dates were set. And then Ebola broke out in Nigeria. And the person who was my contact there that I was going to go and do the filming with and the head of the mission met together, and they made a decision without me being involved in the decision, although my money was involved in it all. And they decided I wouldn't go because it was too great a scare with Ebola. I was a little bit miffed because I thought, you know, I'm the guy who's putting everything up. I'm the one who's advertised it. I'm the one who raised the money from our people. And now you made a decision that I wasn't even involved in the decision. So my dilemma there was, do I just leave it or do I talk to these people and say, why would you do this when I'm the key person? Why would you make a decision involving me? I was really put out by that. Maybe I just ought to leave it alone because my friendships with those people are more important over the years, and I'll try to get myself in situations where they can't make those kind of unilateral decisions without me. That's what life is like. So there's a lot of that that goes on in terms of ministry. I probably would be seen by certain people, you know. So you've associated the name of Jesus with the Teamsters. You know, well, I don't know how to please everybody. And I know that you can't please everybody, but compromise is a part of the name of living. And yeah, ministers, they get into those kind of situations more than they would like to.
In your book, Full Circle, about Circle Church, where you talk a great deal about the association with the Teamsters and with Mr. Pike and so forth, there's some interesting moments of testimony and witness that God gave you because you were in that very place.
Yeah, it's true. You know what happens, though, Dean, I guess I haven't even hit on some of the huge compromises, because you can get into, say, a homosexual marriage type of thing. Those are massive denominational issues that split people. And in a sense, you're dealing with problems that are extremely difficult. And we've faced this, and we've seen whole denominations that have not been able to handle these. So what happens? You know, this is a day that is fraught with problems for ministers. So I was trying to take it up to just extreme levels where it involves numbers, and I mean huge numbers of people. So these are problems that you really struggle with.
Is there a rule of thumb you follow in bigger compromises like you've just mentioned?
Yes, I try to say, please extend me grace, like in this wedding. I know that certain people, I won't tell them about it, but if they would hear and then say something, they would say that I compromised, a non-compromisable principle. I would say, please extend me grace. I tried to do what I felt the Lord wanted me to do. And I think that as I want grace extended to me, I would also like it to be the other side as well. I would like to say, I am willing to extend you grace. I think there are times when ministers extend grace to their denomination and then they have that grace shoved in their face. And that is really painful. It almost brings you to tears. I know a dear friend who did that with a denomination. He said, I'm not like other congregations. I haven't gossiped about you. I basically thought the best of you all the time. And I would like for you to think the best of me and all. And they basically told him where to go. That is very, very difficult when those things happen. But if you say a rule of thumb, the rule of thumb would be grace. I would say, God, help me to extend grace. It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer. forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The way I forgive, hopefully people will forgive me. The way I extend grace, hopefully they will extend grace to me. That would be the rule of thumb, but I would also say that the rule of thumb doesn't always work.
Because ministers often find themselves in compromising situations, that is, situations that require compromise, they need to learn to both extend grace and receive it. We thank you for joining us for this time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.